Hare
Krishna.
So this morning, the good news is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, all over the world, people, they watch the news in the morning, read the newspaper, it's all bad news, right? They were saying, no news, it's good news. But we're fortunate, we have the good news every morning, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 3, Chapter 28, Kapila's Instructions on Devotional Service. Really good news. Ahimsa.
Ahimsa.
Satyam.
Satyam.
Asteyam.
Asteyam.
Yavat.
Yavat.
Artha.
Artha.
Parigraha.
Parigraha.
Marjanyam.
Brahmacharyam.
Tapa.
Tapa.
Saucham.
Saucham.
Svadhyaya.
Svadhyaya.
Purusharchanam.
Purusharchanam.
Ahimsa satyam asteyam.
Ahimsa satyam asteyam.
Yavat artha parigraha.
Yavat artha parigraha. Brahmacharyam tapaha socham.
Svadhyaya purusharchanam.
Svadhyaya purusharchanam.
Ahimsa satyam asteyam.
Ahimsa satyam asteyam.
Yavat artha parigraha.
Yavat artha parigraha.
Brahmacharyam tapaha socham.
Brahmacharyam tapaha socham.
Svadhyaya purusharchanam.
Svadhyaya. Ahimsa satyam asteyam.
Yavat artha parigraha.
Yavat artha parigraha.
Brahmacharyam tapaha socham.
Brahmacharyam tapaha socham.
Svadhyaya purusharchanam.
Svadhyaya purusharchanam.
Ahimsa.
Ahimsa.
Non-violence.
Non-violence.
Satyam.
Satyam.
Truthfulness.
Truthfulness.
Asteyam. Refraining from theft.
Refraining from theft.
Yavanartha.
Yavanartha.
As much as necessary.
As much as necessary.
Parigraha.
Parigraha.
Possessing.
Possessing.
Brahmacharyam.
Brahmacharyam.
Celibacy.
Celibacy.
Tapa.
Tapa.
Austerity.
Austerity.
Saucham.
Saucham.
Cleanliness.
Cleanliness.
Svadhyaya.
Svadhyaya.
Study of the Vedas.
Study of the Vedas.
Purusha Archanam.
Purusha Archanam.
Worship of the Supreme Personality of God.
Worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Translation and purport by His Mighty Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Jai!
Wanting practice non-violence and truthfulness, should avoid thieving, and be satisfied with possessing as much as he needs for his maintenance. He should abstain from sex life, perform austerity, be clean, study the Vedas, and worship the supreme form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please repeat. One should practice nonviolence.
One should practice nonviolence.
And truthfulness.
And truthfulness.
Should avoid thieving.
Should avoid thieving.
And be satisfied.
Should be satisfied.
Possessing as much as he needs.
Possessing as much as he needs.
For his maintenance.
For his maintenance.
He should abstain from sex life.
He should abstain from sex life.
Perform austerity.
Perform austerity.
Be clean.
Be clean.
Study the Vedas.
Study the Vedas.
And worship the Supreme Form of the Supreme Personality of God.
And worship the Supreme Form of the Supreme Personality of God.
The word purusharchanam in this verse means worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, especially the form of Lord Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed by Arjuna that Krishna is the original Purusha, or Personality of Godhead. Purusham Kshatriyam. Therefore, in yoga practice, one not only must concentrate his mind on the person of Krishna, but must also worship the form or deity of Krishna daily. A brahmachari practices celibacy, controlling the sex life. One cannot enjoy unrestricted sex life and practice yoga. This is rascaldom. So-called yogis advertise that one can go on and enjoy celibacy. Brahmachari means that one leads his life simply in the mind or in full Krishna consciousness. Those who are too addicted to sex life cannot observe the regulations which will lead them to Krishna consciousness. Sex life should be restricted to persons who are married. A person whose sex life is restricted in marriage is also called a brahmachari. The word asteyam is also very important for a yogi. Asteyam means to refrain from theft. In the broader sense, everyone who accumulates more than he needs is a thief. According to spiritual communism, one cannot possess more than he needs for personal maintenance. That is a law of nature. Anyone who accumulates more money or more possessions than he needs is called a thief. And one who simply accumulates wealth without spending for sacrifice or for worship of the Supreme Krishna and God is a great thief. Svadhyaya means reading the authorized Vedic literatures. Even if one is not Krishna conscious and is practicing the yoga system, he must read standard Vedic literatures in order to understand. Performance of yoga alone is not sufficient. Narottam Das Thakur, a great devotee and acharya in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, says that all spiritual activities should be understood from three sources, namely saintly persons, standard scriptures, and the spiritual master. These three guides are very important for progress in spiritual life. The spiritual master prescribes standard literature for the prosecution of the yoga of devotional service. And he himself speaks only from scriptural reference. Therefore, reading standard scriptures is necessary for executing yoga. Practicing yoga without reading standard literatures is simply a waste of time. Om Yanatavanam Vasya Yanatana Salataya Chakshuru Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Srivastava Govinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is a very important verse. Many points are given to us here today. First thing here he says is ahimsa, which means restaurant in the world, I think, I would suppose it's called Ahimsa. It's an Ahimsa restaurant. It's a vegan restaurant. It's a really good restaurant too. Our devotees, they run it. Why do we have a restaurant called Ahimsa? Because devotees don't like violence. And one of the major forms of violence in this world now is animal killing. Millions and millions of cows and other animals are killed every year in this world. It's terrible. And there will be reaction. Karma, bad karma. So there's not only violence against animals, there's violence to one's own children. Abortion. Every year on this planet, there's 50 million abortions. In India, the land of Dharma, there's about 8 million every year. So much violence. And also, throughout the world, there's violence against human beings. Prabhupada said
he heard of one
instance where two brothers, they were having an argument, and the argument got somewhat heated, and it turned violent, and one brother killed the other brother. And then when it went to court, the judge ordered that the other one be killed, be put to death. And the father went to the judge and said, "Please, one of my sons is dead now. I have one left. Please let him live." So the judge said, "All right." But he stayed in prison for the rest of his life. So violence is such a rampant thing. Where does it come from? Anger. People become angry over the littlest thing. And from this comes so much violence. So in America, they probably down here, they have Alcoholics Anonymous. They have that probably here too. They also have Anger Anonymous. Anger management. It's a major problem. People become angry over the smallest thing. And where does it come from? We heard yesterday also, Jaya told us the uncle, says, Sambhasti Siddhi Jaya. Sambhasti Jaya. Now, Kama Krodho Vijaya. While contemplating objects of the senses, one develops attachment for it. From such attachment, lust develops. From lust, anger. Unsatisfied desires. So this anger comes from. And sometimes people can't understand why it was that Krishna was enticing Arjuna to fight. He was trying to get Arjuna angry. This is a spiritual text, Bhagavad Gita. Why is it? This is the theme, actually. Is to stop the Kurus. So, anger isn't bad, actually. It's like Hanuman. He became so angry at Ravana. If someone blasphemes Krishna or this pure devotee, immediately become angry. If you don't become angry, then you get a problem. So anger is not bad, it's where we direct it. Just like a knife. A knife in the hands of a murderer is bad. But the same knife in the hands of a surgeon, people will pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for that doctor to use that knife to cut him open to cure or whatever problem. So anger also is not bad. So we just have to know where to direct these things. And violence also. Sometimes violence is necessary. And why did Krishna entice Arjuna to fight? Because Krishna, he wanted that Yudhisthira become the king. But to do that, violence was necessary. And the result was very auspicious. Very auspicious. Yudhisthira became the king. The whole world became wonderful under his guidance. And in contemporary times, Hitler, basically, he wanted to take over the world, and he was getting pretty far along. If he hadn't been stopped with violence, we probably would all be speaking German here, our German friend. When he wanted to take over the world, and he was hurting quite a bit. So with violence, he had to be stopped. So sometimes people are just so much against violence, but not. It's necessary. So, Ahimsa, and satyam, truth. To be truthful is so important. And Prabhupada was speaking about this. And he said we should be so honest that even if a thief comes to us and said, asks us, how much money do you have? We should tell him. This is probably the highest extent of truthfulness. So it's not easy to be truthful. Actually, it's one of the austerities of speech. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Anupegam karam bhakyam satyam priyam hitmutyam svadyam yasmam chaibam vanmayam uchutyam. The austerity of speech is to speak that which is not agitating to others. Anupegam karam bhakyam satyam, to speak that which is truthful. Always speak the truth. Not easy. It's the last leg of religion. There's four legs of religion. Truthfulness, austerity. What are the others? Mercy. Cleanliness. Yes. So, and it's described that truthfulness is the last leg. And there's not much of that left. So to be truthful, we actually have to pray to Krishna to always be able to speak the truth. So, satyam priyam, to speak that which is pleasing to others, and hitamchaya, to speak that which is beneficial, and to always be repeating the Vedic literatures. This is the austerity of speech, five austerities of speech. So if we're hearing the Vedic literatures, then we'll be able to speak the truth. So many people are speaking, but if not getting guidance, as we hear from the purport here, from Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, then we're not going to be able to speak the truth. And if we hear the truth, then we can speak the truth. And this truth will set us free. This will set us free from the contamination of material existence. So, ehingsa satyam ashtayam. Ashtayam means refraining from theft. Refraining from theft. And this is another deviation from honesty or truthfulness. There's so much thievery now throughout the world, even within our society. Just recently, I was in Los Angeles, and there was, by devotees, there was some thievery going on. Shocking, actually. Shocking. And when Prabhupada was here, also, so much of this was going on. Prabhupada was in Hawaii, and there was one temple president who gave up the post of president, but he had also been managing the restaurant, and while he was president, he changed the restaurant name into his name. So it became his restaurant, and it became a scandal. So Prabhupada went there, and he told his disciple, "You're my disciple, yes?" And the devotee said, "Yes, Prabhupada." So everything you have is mine, yes? Yes, ma'am. So the restaurant is mine, yes? No, Prabhupada. He kept it. This goes to show you how far a person can go. And also many presidents, they would leave and they would take money with them. When they would leave the post of president, they would group and they would take money with them. It got such a big problem that one president group, and Prabhupada asked the GBC, did he take any money with him? And the GBC said, no, Prabhupada. But at least he didn't take any money with him. It became such a common problem. It's amazing. And you join the Hare Krishna movement, and then you leave and you steal. Kali Yuga. This is Kali Yuga.
Very familiar.
So ahimsa, satyam, ashtayam, yavat, artha, parigraha, possessing as much as necessary, one should not accept more than one needs. Isavasham idam saram dipkinchit jagacham jagatin takin bhutta magurha kushasudha. That everything that exists is owned and controlled by the Supreme Lord. And we should not accept more than we need as our quota, knowing well to whom everything belongs. So I found some statistic recently that the 100 wealthiest people on this planet, they have the amount of wealth that half the people on the planet, half the poorest people on the planet have. The 100 wealthiest people, they have the wealth of the of half the planet, the poorest half of the people on the planet. It's amazing. Billions and billions of dollars sitting in the bank just to increase their false prestige. They have so much money, they don't know what to do. They couldn't spend it all in their life, but just to increase their false prestige. So it's actually, as Prabhupada says, they're stealing because they're accepting more than what they need. And so many others can be helped with that, which is just sitting in the bank. So it's very unfortunate. And then here, Kapila Dev goes on to say, Brahmacharya Kapa Saucham. So Brahmacharya, to be celibate, this is one of the great austerities. Therefore, Bhishma name became Bhishma because what does it mean? What does Bhishma mean? Anybody know?
Great
vow. Or actually it's a horrible vow. Because he was in this predicament where he had protected these ladies and he touched one and she wanted, because once you're touched, back then it was if you're even touched by a man, the woman has to marry him. There was no woman. So she wanted to be married by Bhishma. But he wouldn't do it. Actually, no, excuse me. This was an instance where Bhishma's father wanted to marry Satyavati, right? And the father of the Satyavati, he wouldn't allow it because her son wouldn't be the king. So the father of Bhishma was kind of depressed. He was a little bit depressed because he couldn't have this lady as his wife. So Bhishma, what was his name before that? Before Bhishma? Anybody remember?
Devavrat.
Yes, Devavrat. So he could see that his father was a little depressed. What is difficult? I want to marry this girl, but the father is not allowing because his grandson won't be the king. So Devavrat said, okay. So he spoke to this man, and he said to this man, I won't be the king. It's okay, you can allow your daughter to marry my father. It's okay. I won't take the position of king. But still, he wouldn't do it. And Dhritarashtra said, why? Because your son will be the king. And then that's when he took this vow. Then I won't marry. And then even flowers came from the sky. Your name is Bhishma. An unembodied voice resounded. Your name is Bhishma. It's a horrible God. Because this is the main place. pleasure, the highest pleasure in the material world. But actually, the highest pleasure is pure devotional service to Krishna. This is the highest pleasure. There is no higher pleasure. And therefore, Rupa Goswami, he says, when I chant the holy name of Krishna, I desire to have many millions of tongues to chant, and I desire to have many millions of ears to hear. And when the holy name of Krishna enters into the cordon of my heart, it stops the activities of my mind, and I experience unlimited happiness. So he's experiencing this happiness. And many, many devotees have experienced this happiness of Krishna consciousness. And this is why we accept this vow of celibacy. Even the householders here who are married and have sex only to beget a child, they're also brahmacharis, as Prabhupada mentions here in the purport. That's also brahmachari. Because that's also an austerity. And actually this human form of life is meant for austerity. Nayam deo dihabhajam naloke kustam kaman arhate vidvajunya. Devoted yam putika yena satram sutya jesmad brahmasokyam pranantam. That a person to have accepted material bodies in this material world, a person to have accepted the human form of life, they shouldn't waste their time and engage in the activities of the animals, which is eating, sleeping, mating, and depending. But they should engage in austerity and experience this brahma-sokyam tvananti, it's the real happiness, the happiness of the soul, not this body, isn't that? We're not this body, so how can this body bring happiness? We're the soul within. So if we're doing things which are pleasing to Krishna, then we experience this happiness of the soul. But if we're doing things which are not pleasing to Krishna, then we go backwards. If we do things that are pleasing to Krishna, we're going forward in our path back to Krishna. If we do things that are displeasing, then we go backwards. So do you want to go forward, or do you want to go backward? We want to go forward, don't we? We don't want to go back. And sometimes we harm ourselves because of lack of understanding, lack of sincerity. Just like this word violence, we can cause violence to ourselves if we do things that are not conducive to our advancement in spiritual life. Just like there's so much violence going on in America. About 11,000 people last year were killed by other people. 11,000 people. It's like that about every year. So why? Because there's some envy. There's some envy. Gang, there's gang wars. I heard yesterday even here also there's some gangs here. So envy. But we can also be envious of our own selves. And therefore it's stated by Krishna in the Uddhava Gita, Nirdeham Adyam Sulabham Se Gauravam Pulabham Sukhatam Guru Karnaram Mayana Kuyasa Devasa Vaidam Umam Vavadhyam Nam Kretsa Ahama. Krishna says that this human form of life is a very rare opportunity to have. It's very rare. There's 8,400,000 different species. So many species, so to have a human form of life in which one can inquire about the absolute truth. There's many forms of life where they're such low form they can't even inquire. Even though it's the human form of life, they can't inquire about the absolute truth. So to have a human form of life and to be able to inquire about what is the truth is very rare. It's because this human form of life, it's like a boat. By which we can cross the ocean of material existence. We have this big ocean here, Pacific Ocean, but that's nothing compared to the ocean of material existence. It's a vast, huge ocean. So the human form of life, it's a way to cross this ocean. The spiritual master, he's the captain. He gives guidance. If you're in the middle of the ocean and you have a boat, that doesn't have a captain and doesn't have wind and you don't have an engine, then you're just going to sit out there. So, but if you have wind, what is wind compared to? Anybody know?
The Vedic literatures.
The Vedic literatures of the wind. So the spiritual master is the captain, the body is the boat, the winds are the sort of push the boat along, favorable winds, the Vedic literatures. But if one has all this, such a great opportunity to advance in spiritual life and go back to Godhead, and doesn't utilize it for this purpose of going back to home, then it's described that he's the killer of his own soul. The killer of his own soul. So when someone wants to kill someone, there's envy there. So we can be envious of our own self. If we do things that are not beneficial for our spiritual life, then we're envious of our own self. We're causing a disturbance to our own life if we do things that are not beneficial for our advancement spiritually. Just like we have these four regular principles, no gambling, no intoxication, no beating, no innocent sex. If we engage in these things, then this is a sign that we're envious of our own self because we're harming ourselves. We're causing ourselves to go backwards. So, therefore, we have to be very careful about what we do. Right? And there's so many things that we can do in this world that you know, not besides these four things, four regular principles, that can cause us to go backwards. This is called we're bombarded by the mass weapons of distraction. We're bombarded by mass weapons of distraction. And what is it that mainly distracts people nowadays? Survey about 100 years ago, about 500 people, what is your greatest fear? And what do you think they said? War was their greatest fear. A few years ago, they did the same survey, 500 people, what is your greatest fear? The greatest fear was to lose my cell phone. Anybody have that fear here? It's amazing. 40 years ago, nobody had a cell phone. And things were all right. Now there's billions of people on this planet. Apparently everybody has a cell phone. Even 5-year-old kids have cell phones. It's crazy. And people think they can't live without it. For thousands and thousands of years, nobody had a cell phone. Now we think we don't have it. It's like a part of them is lost. So what is the biggest distraction now? It's not cell phones, actually.
Money,
well, that's a big distraction.
Technology.
The internet, yeah. The internet. And in the internet, what? Facebook, that's right. Speaking about this in one class, and one devotee admitted of sometimes spending 8 hours in a day on Facebook. And I mentioned this to another group of devotees in Russia, and one lady said, "Only 8 hours?" And people just bury themselves in this Facebook. So it can be a big distraction. We have such nice literatures here that can give such nice guidance back to Krishna. We have the holy name, we have the association of devotees. so much service we can do. So we shouldn't waste time. Janaka Pandit, he said that you cannot buy back 1 second of time, even with all the wealth in the world. Time is so valuable. But if we misuse it for things that are not helpful to us in our spiritual life, we're envious of our own selves, because this causes us to go backwards. So we should not be envious of ourselves. Of course, if we love Krishna, then we love everyone, including ourselves. The problem is we don't love Krishna, so therefore sometimes we harm ourselves. Sometimes we harm others. Just like domestic violence, that's another big problem. And even within ISKCON, sometimes there's domestic violence. Right? It's a problem. So, if we take this Krishna consciousness very seriously here, this is another thing that Kapila Dev mentions here, is study the Vedas. If we study the Vedas, the Vedic literatures, then we get purified of this envy. Envy of ourselves, envy of others, envy of Krishna. Envy is a major problem. Yeah. So what is the opposite of that? Opposite of envy is love. So this is what we pray for. In Krishna, or it's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimatam Svakata Krishna, Punya Shravan Kirtana, Priyantastotya Vajrani, Viripati Svitsati. That Sri Krishna, the personality of God, is the Paramatma, the super soul in the hearts of all living entities, and the benefactor of the truth of the devotee. Cleanse the desire from impure enjoyment from the devotee who simply relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So you see how kind Krishna is? He's so kind that all we have to do is hear the Bhagavad Gita, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have so many nice books. Just hear and relish what we're hearing. And Krishna cleanses the heart. I mean, that's nice, huh? That's very nice of Krishna. So Krishna is very kind. And if we pray to him, he'll help us. And my favorite prayer lately has been this prayer by Sudama, the garland maker. When he was in Mathura, Krishna went there. And this devotee was so elevated that Krishna told him, I'll give you any benediction you want. And so this devotee is very sincere. He said, Sophi Prabhupada Chalam Bhakti, Tasmani Bhakti Lakhmi, Tad Bhakti, Vishavara, Bhuti Sutta Devnakarma. He said, I just want three things. Please give me devotion for you. Give me friendship with your devotees and compassion for all the devotees. When I heard that prayer, I said, wow, that covers everything. Such a beautiful thing. Our main lack, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura said, our main lack in this world is Krishna consciousness. And this is our lack also. Krishna consciousness. So we should pray to Krishna to attain this Krishna consciousness. And Krishna will help us. He's very kind. Especially if we continually, therefore he says, Kesam Sarakyuktanam Bhajitam Pritipurvika Didami Buddhiyoga Nyenu. For those who are constantly devoted to me and worship me with love, I give them the understanding, the intelligence by which they can come to me. So this is what Krishna is looking for. Not part-time. In the spiritual world, there's no part-time service. It's all full-on, full-on. So if we want to go back to the spiritual world, we also have to go full-on. Devotional service, no part-time. Krishna will help us if we want that. He'll help us. And eventually we'll get purified. One other thing I wanted to say about honesty is that we not only have to be honest with others, but we have to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we have this idea that we're advanced devotees, especially when we first join. I remember when I first joined, I had the PDS disease. You know what the PDS disease is? Pure devotee syndrome. In fact, yeah, within 6 months I should be a pure devotee. It didn't happen. It's amazing how, as the false ego, I picked this up pretty quick. I should be pure devotee good time. It's not an easy thing, as we've all found. I remember reading this verse, Naham Pukasa Sarva, so Yoga Maya Smava, Buddha Yoga Vijan, Yoga Vijan. Krishna says, I never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my eternal creative potency, Yoga Maya, so that the deluded world knows me not. I'm unborn and infallible. When I read that, I was thinking, yeah, those fools out there, they don't know Krishna. Krishna's not going to reveal himself to them. But then after a while, I realized I was also one of those fools that doesn't understand Krishna. So it's not easy to understand Krishna, to engage in devotional service, and to be honest. If we're honest, we'll understand how insignificant we are and how fallen we are. Kridananda Maharaj once wrote a letter to Prabhupada, and in that letter he wrote a very nice poem to Prabhupada. And within that poem, he said that I am a devotee of Krishna. That was part of one line in that poem. Prabhupada wrote back, it's a nice poem, very nice poem, but a devotee never thinks he's a devotee. You said you're a devotee of Krishna, but a devotee never thinks that he's a devotee of Krishna. That's the symptom, that's the first symptom of a real devotee. He doesn't even think he's a devotee. He's always aspiring to be a devotee, always aspiring. We want to become devotees. It's not an easy thing. And we should never think that I've become a devotee. Just like Krishna Das Kaviraj. Great Vaishnava. At the time, when he was here, he was probably the greatest Vaishnava. Lord Nityananda came to him in a dream, go to Vrindavan, and there you will find all things. And he was instructed to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was very elderly, such a great Vaishnava. But he was such a great Vaishnava, he was so humble that he said that I consider myself to be lower than a worked stool. Anybody that chants my name loses all pious credit. So here he is, such a great Vaishnava, but he doesn't even think he's a devotee. Lower than a worked stool. So this is a natural result of practicing Krishna consciousness. You become humble. Humility is like the crown jewel of devotional service. So this is a natural result of practicing Krishna consciousness. So we have to be honest with ourselves as well as to others. So maybe I'll stop there. Is there any question? Yes, Bhakti.
Thank you for a nice class.
Thank you.
As the minister for book distribution, and you were talking about Sri Prabhupada, because of our fickle mind, how can we constantly be enthused to read Sri Prabhupada's books?
How could we be inspired to read Prabhupada's books? Well, we have to understand that maybe forward. There's more people coming into this. We have to understand that these books are non-devotees of Krishna. Like there was one gentleman that was speaking to Prabhupada, and he said, Prabhupada, Arjuna was so fortunate. Krishna personally spoke to him. The Bhagavad Gita is so fortunate. And Prabhupada said, no, you are no less fortunate. If you read Bhagavad Gita as it is, it's not different than Krishna standing in front of you and speaking Bhagavad Gita. So we should understand that when we read Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking to us. It's none different than Krishna standing right in front of us and he's speaking to us the Bhagavad Gita. No difference. And I don't know if many of you know about this, but there's a program called the CHAD program. How many of you know about the CHAD program? One. Okay, well, you're all going to learn about the CHAD program. It's a really nice program. CHAD stands for Chapter A Day. And this was started by my hero, Vaisheshika Prabhu. Vaisheshika Prabhu was such a great Vaishnava. He's like unbelievable. He's been here to us. He's been to Australia. I'll try to convince him to come back again. He'll probably push book distribution more. He started this program of Chapter Day of Bhagavad Gita. And we're very good friends, so he got me on. So I've been on this program for 5 years now. Chapter Day of Bhagavad Gita. And so much. I mean, I read the Bhagavad Gita. Before I started the CHAD program, I already read it about 25 times. Maybe 30 times. I lost count. The whole Bhagavad Gita, purports. I still read the purports also, because Prabhupada would not be pleased if we just read the translation and not the purports. But so much more has come out of the Bhagavad Gita by reading a chapter every day. I highly recommend reading this. It doesn't take long. Some chapters, the 18th chapter, the second chapter, they take a little, maybe between 15 and 20 minutes. But some of them are, about maybe 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Some of them are 15 chapters, 12 chapters, 5 minutes, 20 verses. But it's really nice. Chapter day. There's another thing also where he's reading 41 pages of the Bhagavad, of the Srimad Bhagavatam every day. And this way he reads the entire Bhagavatam once a year. This is why Sage Prabhu. He's got such a taste. And he's one of the most dynamic devotees in this world. I call him like our demigod of ISKCON. He's huge. He's big. He's just so joyful. It's just Krishna consciousness is just emanating from him. Wonderful devotee. Because he's absorbed and hearing and distributing. Kadamakana Maharaj, we were speaking the other day and we were talking about Vaisheshika Prabhu, and he said, Vijaya, you're the minister of book distribution. Vaisheshika Prabhu, he's the guru of book distribution. I said, now it's clear. And it's true. Actually, when Navina Nirada Prabhu stopped being the minister, many probably when he comes here. The first person they went to, the GBC, went to Vaisheshika Prabhu to be the minister of book distribution. He said, no, I can't travel so much. So then they went to Bhrigupati Prabhu, who also used to spend time here, many years, 8 years, I think, a long time. He said, no, I can't do it. So I became minister by default. No qualification, but we need one, so anyway, let's ask each other. But because as a brahmachari, I could travel, so that was the thing. They're both householders, by changing people who would improve, so they could travel. So I could travel, 7-8 months out of the year. So he's the real minister, just between you and me. He's the guru and the minister. And he gives such nice guidance. Such nice space. on hearing. He's got such a taste. We should pray. You can pray to Vaisheshika Guru for a taste to be in Prabhupada. Pray to Prabhupada. Actually, it's still like that. You can pray to Prabhupada. To distribute books, to read books, to be a devotee. He reads it ill and says the Vaishnavas die while still living in the sun. The Vaishnavas die to live and live and spread the holy name around. Prabhupada's with us. And as I mentioned the other day, Prabhupada's preaching, he's making devotees still. Yes, do you have a question, Prabhu? Or comment? There was some noise. Say it again.
We said we aspiring to be devotees of Krishna, but the sheer little net there is actually, it's that we're aspiring to be the devotees of the devotees of Krishna, but that's even more negative.
That's even higher, yeah, very good. Gopi Bhartu Parikamalyoga Dasa Anudasa. We want to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is the lover of the gopis. Yeah. Yes? Bhakti Devi Dasi.
Can you explain a little bit more about
some
psychological
women?
How we can be envious of ourselves?
How we can be envious of ourselves, yeah.
Explain that to me.
If we do things that are harmful to us, just like I mentioned earlier, that sometimes people kill others. That's the extreme of envy, right? When you try to kill someone else. Right? You want them to not exist, just don't exist anymore, right? So they're doing things that are harmful to that person. So if we do things that are harmful to us, that's envy of ourselves. Because that means we're going backwards. With the soul, we want to go forward towards Krishna. And therefore we chant Hare Krishna, we read Prabhupada's books, we take prasad, we associate with the devotees. But if we're doing things in secret that are not beneficial to ourselves, then we're going backwards. That's the mind. The mind is very tricky.
So you're basically saying that ego is not acknowledging or wanting to acknowledge the existence of
the false ego. This is the problem. We think that we're this body. So, and we think that we're this mind. So we try to satisfy this body, we try to satisfy the mind. This means we're going backwards. So we have to hear very regularly. Then this gives us this solidification of our spiritual existence, of who we are. And then we want to go forward. We don't want to touch Facebook. We don't want to, you know, touch all the nonsense news. Prabhupada said, my disciples, they don't read the news. Because it's all bad news. If you want to read the news, read the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's all good news. And you'll go forward. You read the karmic news, you go backward. Because you're going to read a lot of things that are contaminated. There's a lot of contamination in the modern, in the news. And it stays in the computer. This mind is a computer. And sometimes, I mean, I've had the experience, I've read things that were in the news that I read, you know, 40 years ago, it's still there. I'm chanting Java, and it's, you know, and it comes out. So we don't want nonsense in our mind, because, you know, our movies now, when I first joined, it was just like completely taboo to go to watch a movie. But now it's become like a common thing. Devotees go to the movies, watch the movies. So contaminating. You know, these directors of movies, they're not thinking of your goodwill at all. They're thinking of one thing. Money. That's it. And there's all kinds of nonsense in these movies. So now we have access to the internet. And there's so much nonsense in the internet. You know? So many sannyasis have fallen down because they allowed their fingers to go in the wrong place. On the keyboard there. And the whole world is there in front of you. So we have to be careful. We can't let our mind touch those wrong keys that put us in the wrong direction. It's like there's this amazing pastime of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, or one householder, Kunja Prabhupada. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. And he said, am I perceiving wrong? Forgive me if I am, but I am seeing that your brahmacharis here in the ashram, it doesn't appear like they're making the advancement that they could be making. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no, you're perceiving properly. And it's because of two internal worms. If you have internal worms, then you can't digest your food properly. And because these brahmacharis, they have these two internal worms, they're not able to digest the Krishna consciousness that they're receiving. And those two internal worms are one, secret bad habits. Which is amazing because back then, there was no internet. There was no movies back then, right? I mean, we're talking about the 30s. Is there movies even? Maybe black and white, maybe something. But one of them was secret bad habits. So now there's so much opportunity for secret bad habits. But there's no secrets. Why? Super soul is right there watching everything that we're doing. Everything that we're doing is being watched by super soul. And the other worm was selfishness. Because they're selfish and they have secret bad habits. Therefore they're not able to digest this Krishna consciousness. And therefore they're not able to advance as much as they could. So we also have to become selfless. And the epitome of selflessness is to accept the austerity of going out and giving this knowledge to others. Because it's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that there's many ways to worship Krishna, but the highest method of worshiping Krishna is to go out to where the people are who are suffering and try to help them gain Krishna consciousness. That's the highest method of worship. That's the highest deity worship, is to give Krishna to others. And it's kind of like in a subtle sense, it's kind of like envy if you don't. Because I don't know about Australia, but there's many countries and some states in America where if you see someone that's in a dangerous situation and you don't help them, you're liable for that. Like, for instance, a man's walking down the street and there's a young boy drowning in a pool next to him. And he doesn't want to get his suit wet, so he doesn't jump in and save the child. He can go to jail for that. Is it like that in Australia too? Yeah, that law is here in Australia as well. So, people are suffering. Although this is the most liked place, what is it? How do you say the most liked place in the world?
Livable city.
What is it?
Most livable city.
Most livable city in the world for the last 6 years, I've heard. Melbourne, but still people are suffering. Isn't it? Yeah. Everywhere. Dukali and Sesatam, wherever you are, people are suffering. So if we don't help them, then we're also, in a subtle sense, we're lying. Yeah. We have the medicine by which they can become free of birth and death, by which they can go back to Godhead. This knowledge is medicine, also. So we should want to give this medicine out to them. And just like we're becoming purified by this process of Krishna consciousness, so all those people out there, they can also get purified. But they need the books. They need the books. So we should pray to Krishna for this also, for the sincerity and the determination and the compassion to want to help others by giving this dharma. We could all do it. We could all just do it. It's not a difficult thing. Prabhupada wanted everybody to learn the art of book distribution. The other day on Tuesday, we had this young boy, Krishna. What's his, how old is he? He was here.
Six.
Yes, he's like 7 years old. He distributes books every Harinam, right?
Yeah.
Every Harinam he's distributing books. Little boy. This little boy can do it. We can do it. Everybody can do it. It's not that difficult. The worst thing that's going to happen is some people are going to say no. That's the worst thing. No one's going to hit you. Some people are going to say no. That's all. It's not that painful. And it's good for us. To get rejection is good. It helps us become humble. Prabhupada said to her, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said to Prabhupada, it'll be good for you, it'll be good for those who you give this knowledge to. So it's very auspicious. Book distribution is very auspicious. And there's nice people here. You know them. As we've seen, so many books went out during the marathon. I think you had the best marathon in a long time. Yeah? How many years? You don't know. It's been a long time. So it's a good marathon. So yeah, we should pray for this compassion. Try to help others. Okay, it's a little late then. Okay, one more question. Yes.
Thank you for a very nice class, Prabhupada.
Thank you.
Regarding humility, the enviousness, what it says is when we are, what I understood from your class is when we say we are envious to ourselves, we see our subtle body, not to be humble, you know, but when we see the nature of the soul is to be very humble, so our subtle body doesn't accept the original state of our existence, and it tries to say that no, you are not so humble, you know, I mean, you cannot be so humble. So is that what you actually said?
Well, because of the false ego, we think that we're the body. And when we think that we're the body, we become proud. Because the body has abilities, and we become proud of those abilities. You know, the mind also has abilities, so we become proud of this, of these abilities. But when we understand we're not the body, we're not the mind, that we're the soul, then that gives way to be humble. As long as we're in the bodily conception of life, how can we become humble? As soon as we become self-realized, we understand we're the soul. I mean, how big is the soul? 1/10,000 size of a tip of a hair. We're pretty small. We're all very small. But because we have these bodies, and we have this false ego. So this process is going to dissolve the false ego. And reawaken this reality that we're so, that we're very small. Which, you know, this gives way to be humble, to have humility. This is reality. Actually, you know, this process is meant to just bring us back to reality, that we're very insignificant. Krishna's insignificant, and we're very insignificant. I mean, 1/10,000th the size of a tip of a hair is pretty insignificant. But it's so insignificant, you can't even see it. We're so small, we can't even be seen. But what's ironic is that materially, we don't even exist. We don't even exist materially because we're not this body. But we're very proud of this body and our mind and, you know, abilities. But we do exist spiritually. And we have a very big position spiritually, because we're part of Krishna. We're the sons of God, daughters of God. We're part of Krishna. Sons of God. That's big. It's like if a prime minister or a king has a son. I mean, that's a pretty respectable position to be the son of a king. Or the prime, what do you have, prime ministers here? Yeah? He has children? So very respected, you know, he probably gets, you know, bodyguards to protect also, right? He's the son of the prime minister. prime minister. So the son of God, much bigger than being the son of a prime minister. So we have a very big position. We forgot that. And we're in this illusion that we're this body.
One of the impediments of being a humble person is they cannot identify themselves to be humble. You know? I mean, they know, I mean, if one person is honest, he knows, you know, how he thinks, and I mean, and then he cannot actually practice being humble because he thinks, no, I'm not, I know what I am, so let me not pretend, you know.
No, but if he knows what he is, then he understands I'm the soul. His false ego thinks that he, you know, I know what I am, I'm this body. But that's illusion. When he understands what he is, that I'm the soul, then he can be humble. Automatically, when we become self-realized.